You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Session, Honorable Stephen W. Boyce, Judge presiding.
Thank you. Please be seated.
We have all 18.
Yes.
Okay, we're on the record again on KCR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We're continuing with evidence this morning. The case in chief still presented by the state. The court notes that we do have all 18 jurors have returned and each have signed their juror affirmations this morning. So if we're ready to continue with evidence, it's cross-examination of Ms. Gibb this morning, who has returned on the witness stand. Is the state ready to proceed and have the jurors brought in?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
From the defense?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue with that. And as I mentioned to counsel, we'll discuss as the day moves along what time we might conclude for the day, but we'll see how things are going in terms of length of this witness and the next. So if we'll go ahead and have the jurors brought in at this time, please, Mr. Bailiff. Yeah.
All rise, please.
Your Honor, the jury is present and accounted for.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. We are on the record on KCR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We're continuing with evidence in the case. Ms. Gibb is on the stand, having been previously sworn yesterday. This is continuing cross-examination. The court notes the presence of all 18 jurors properly seated as well, and the court will also indicate that each of the jurors has completed their juror affirmation for the morning. So thank you all for following the court's continuing admonition and instruction in that regard. With that, if we're ready to continue with cross, you can go ahead and take the podium, Mr. Pryor, and we'll continue.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Before you begin your cross, Mr. Pryor, I'll just inquire of the witness. First, I'll remind you, you are still under oath, Ms. Gibb, and I'll ask, did you review anything about the case or your testimony or discuss your testimony with anyone else since last night when we concluded? Okay. She indicated no. So with that, Mr. Pryor, if you'd like to continue with cross, you can do that now.
Ms. Gibb, I want to go over just a couple of preliminary matters, if we could first, to start there, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
The first thing is, you never did provide a hair sample to any law enforcement agency in this case. Is that right?
Correct.
You never turned over your phone or was requested to turn over your phone to any law enforcement agency. Is that correct?
Correct.
You were never requested or did turn over any email or any email accounts or social media accounts to law enforcement at their request. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You did, however, in 2021, provide a DNA sample to a Rexburg or a Fremont County officer a couple of years after this alleged incident. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about an organization that I think you're affiliated with called Seven Gatherers. Are you familiar with the term Seven Gatherers?
I'm not.
You're not? Okay. Initially, there was some discussion about Chad and Lori. Obviously, we're getting very close during the early parts of January and February of 2019. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And at any time, did they talk about having a plan to spend their lives together?
At some point, they did.
Do you recall when that was?
I would say they kind of talked about it in the beginning of their relationship about being part of the head of the 144,000. I would say within a month or two. I'm not sure exactly the day.
Well, I appreciate the religious references, but I was talking more on a personal note that they were planning if when Tammy passed away that they were going to spend their lives together. Did you ever overhear that kind of a discussion?
I guess kind of.
And on that note, we previously touched on the fact that Chad, in a number of his speaking engagements prior to even knowing Lori Vallow, spoke about his premonitions, I guess, about Tammy not having a long life. Recall that?
Yes.
And you were present for at least a couple of those, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So it was also common knowledge that Chad had openly discussed the fact that he felt his wife was not going to live long well before he ever met Lori Vallow, right?
Right.
Okay. And in fact, you touched on that when you had one of your text message conversations with Prosecutor Wood. You had mentioned that, do you recall having that discussion?
It's possible, but I don't recall it.
Okay. Is it possible that you told him that Chad made it known to a lot of his close friends that he knew that Tammy wasn't going to live long?
Yes.
Okay. And we don't need to go into that. Okay. Now, at no time did Chad Daybell ever tell you that he intended to do harm to Tammy Daybell, did he?
Correct.
And in fact, at no time did Chad Daybell ever tell you that he intended to do harm to J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan.
Correct.
Okay. So this plan that they had to spend their lives together would only have occurred if either Chad divorced Tammy Daybell, or that if the premonition was accurate and Tammy had passed away, that they would be able to spend their lives together, right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to go back to the discussion in late November when you claimed that you got a call from Chad about not wanting to talk to the police, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, to put a little foundation in this, on the weekend of the 19th through the 23rd, you were at the at Lori Vallow's townhome that night, right?
Are you talking about November?
September. September of 19th through the 23rd, you were at, just putting a little foundation in place. You were at there, and then you were, part of that was to go to a seminar. There were a number of other things as well, right?
Correct.
Okay. So in your eyes, that was the last time that you saw J.J. Vallow alive, right?
Correct.
Okay. And did you later come to learn that the prosecutors and the state's allegations are that J.J. was murdered at or around the time that you folks were there for that podcast?
I wasn't aware of that.
You've never become aware of that?
I wasn't aware that they were murdered. I knew that the word was missing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And subsequently, you've learned that the allegation is that there's an alleged murder that took place at or around the weekend of the 19th through the 23rd. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, your testimony is that Chad Daybell called you and said, don't talk to the police. Is that what it was on the 19th? And do you remember the date of that?
I remember it was 2 or 3 days before Thanksgiving. So it was in November, whenever the Thanksgiving was.
And would the 25th of November ring a bell, possibly?
It's possible.
Okay. Now, prior to November 23rd, did you have any phone conversations with Lori Vallow giving you a warning that Chad was going to call you?
No.
Okay. But when Chad spoke with you at that time, he did tell you that Lori was going to get a hold of you afterwards, right?
Correct.
Okay. Well, Ms. Gibb, isn't it true that on November 25th of 2019, Chad Daybell contacted you and specifically asked you, where is J.J. Vallow?
No.
Okay. And yet, during that conversation, he told you that Lori was going to be contacting you, right?
That's right.
And then after that, did Lori contact you?
She did.
And what was the discussion, Ms. Gibb?
She told me that the police had come asking for J.J. and that she had told them that I had J.J. and that I needed to go to a movie called Frozen, take some pictures.
Okay.
Back. Yeah.
So your denial of the fact that Chad called you, you're denying the fact that Chad Daybell called you on the 25th seeking out information as to where J.J. Vallow is. You're denying that, right?
Yes.
Okay. But yet Lori Vallow calls you back after Chad Daybell and says, I need you to cover for me and tell the police that you have J.J. Vallo, correct?
Correct.
Hey, but Mr. Daybell also during that conversation said you're going to hear from Lori.
Correct.
Did Lori ever tell you, I told Chad that J.J. was with you and go along with this story?
I don't believe so.
Okay, but you don't know for sure, do you?
I can't remember. I can't recall all the words I said.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, fair enough. And then was it that day or was it the next day that the police officers called you?
It was the same day.
Okay. And at that point, you told them that you had J.J. Vallo, didn't you?
Not initially, but by the end of the day, yes.
Okay. You basically told them during that day that you had possession of J.J. Vallo. Is that right?
I said I had him and then I didn't have
well,
him.
Well, no, we're going to go one at a time, ma'am.
Okay.
At the first opportunity to have discussion with the police and discuss where J.J. Vallo was, you told them you had J.J. Vallo.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm having some difficulty with the fact that Chad's trying to cover something up, and yet after a phone call from Lori discussing to tell them that you had J.J., you suddenly go along and say, yes, I had J.J. Vallo.
Your objection. This is a narrative I'd ask to strike.
Sustain.
All right. And then at some point subsequent to that point, you decided to tell the police, well, I lied about this because I was having an emotional issue with how to deal with this, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how long did it take you for you to have that emotional reflection to go back to the police and tell them, well, I'm not going along with this lie that Lori and I came up with?
A few weeks.
Objection, Your Honor, misstates the evidence.
Well, it's already been answered by the witness. It's late, overruled.
Okay. A couple of weeks it took you to decide that I better tell the police the truth, right?
Right.
Okay. And then at some point you said that you decided to go and, you decided to go to the police to let them know what really happened. And that was the 2 weeks later, right?
However many times it was, however many weeks, yes.
Okay. And then at some point yesterday, you testified that without talking to any law enforcement, you then took it upon yourself to record the conversation between you and Lori, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, Ms. Gibb, and that occurred on about the 8th of December of 2019. Does that sound correct?
Referring to the recording, yes.
Recording, yes. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall having a call to Ray Hermosillo?
Yes.
Right. And well, your testimony previously was, or yesterday, was that you didn't talk to anybody from the police department before you made that call, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the evidence.
Overruled.
Testified that you did not call or talk to anybody with law enforcement prior to recording that call to Lori Vallo. Is that correct?
Your Honor, again, I'm going to object. This misstates her testimony.
I'll sustain that objection.
Okay. Did you have any contact with law enforcement prior to making that recorded call to Chad and Lori?
I wasn't aware of the dates, so I'm not sure exactly when those dates were.
Oh, so are you saying you did talk to law enforcement?
I did.
Oh, prior to it, right?
I'm not sure of the dates.
Okay. Well, would it refresh your recollection that there were two calls to the Rexburg police with Ray Hermosillo on the 6th of December and the 7th of December? Does that spark your memory a little bit?
No, I don't recall the dates.
Okay.
It's just your memory, not mine.
Okay. And you don't have any recollection of talking to the police beforehand then, right?
Beforehand what?
Before you recorded the call. To chat.
I could have, or after, or before. I didn't recall the timing.
Well, isn't it true you testified yesterday that you didn't talk to the police when it was inquired?
Objection, Your Honor. That misstates the testimony.
Sustained.
So you did talk to the police on the 6th and 7th with Ray Hermosillo by phone before you made that phone recording to Chad and Lori, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Ask and answered. She's already said she doesn't recall the dates.
I'll overrule that if she has any additional answer.
Ma'am?
You want to repeat the question, Ms. Potter?
There was contact with law enforcement before you made that recording, right?
There was contact. I don't recall the time.
Okay. And you don't even recall the date, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Now, during that phone call, I touched on this yesterday a little bit. And Lori's comments on the phone call were, I had to move her somewhere else. You recall that?
Sounds familiar, yes.
I will do whatever the Lord needs me to do.
Right.
I love you so much. I know you, and you said, I know you do, right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I noticed during the phone call that the majority of the conversation was between you and Lori. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And that the only time Chad got on the phone call is when he was talking about, you know, his premonition about Tammy, and that he feels that someone's trying to jump on him as a result of this issue between you and Lori. Would that be fair?
Objection, Your Honor. The call speaks for itself, and that misstates what was in the call.
Sustain.
Okay. But you would agree with me that Chad was really not a primary or significant portion of that call, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, one of the things I took note of during the phone call was that Lori made the comment, you more than anyone else knows the truth, when she was talking to you. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Isn't it true, ma'am, that that was a way for her to hide the fact that, Ms. Gibb, you and Lori Vallow know the truth about what happened to J.J. Vallow on the 23rd of September, correct?
No.
Okay. How about the 22nd of September, ma'am?
No.
Okay. Isn't it true that Lori was being very vague on that phone call because Chad was there? And she didn't want Chad to know that you were going to talk about the murder of J.J. Vallow.
I have no idea what her agenda was.
Okay. Now, ma'am, there's been some reference to names, people using different names, Chad, Lori, yourself, and the name James and Elena came up, right?
Yes.
You're familiar with that?
Yes.
Are you also familiar with the fact that that was a novel that Chad was writing about his relationship with Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. So that all of that discussion about James and Elena was Chad using one of his personal experiences, maybe not a proper experience, but an experience about his relationship with Lori, and he assigned names to those two folks, correct?
I wouldn't know his agenda.
Okay. Now, you also had a nickname as well, right?
Yes.
Phoebe?
Yes. That sounds okay. Familiar.
You went by Phoebe? It's
very occasionally she would say that.
Okay.
Yes.
And Judge, this slide I'm about to show comes from Exhibit 7D, which was previously admitted by stipulation of the parties. I can show it to counsel if you like. I'm talking about the Elmo, and I'll try to navigate through that if I can. We'll see how well we do there.
Is this Defense Exhibit 70?
It is Defense Exhibit 7, Judge, and Subsection D.
Seven. Okay.
Seven.
That Elmo has both a light and a zoom in out feature on it, Mr. Pryor.
Warming up, Judge. Perfect. Can I have you stand here for me?
Yes.
Okay. So you previously discussed the fact that you never talked about dark portals or dark lives and things like that, correct?
I didn't go around teaching them to people that I can recall.
Okay. Well, this is an email. I'll represent this as an email from Lori Vallow to you, and it says, Phoebe. And then you responded with the email below, and I apologize for the print on there, but if you could read from thanks and go down to the bottom to me.
Thanks. I love you so much. I'm going to teach you right now, teaching about discerning and shutting off dark portals.
Now, I will represent to you that that was an email that was put together, and it was from you to Lori Vallow. Do you recall that?
I don't recall that email.
Okay. But in that email, you're talking about teaching people about dark portals, correct?
It sounds like she said she was going to teach me.
Do we need to look at it again? Judge, could I approach the witness with the exhibit?
If you've got a printed copy, you can have the bailiff take the exhibit to the witness.
Judge, may we approach briefly?
Yes.
Ms. Gibb, have you had a chance to read that?
Yes.
Mr. Bailiff, could I have that returned to me, please?
That exhibit, Mr. Pryor, based on sidebar, we're going to designate Defense Exhibit 7C is what was just published to the jurors and given to the witness.
Now, Ms. Gibb, the date of this email from Lori Vallow to you was dated 7/25 of 2019.
Okay.
Okay. And at that time, you were in the process at about that time, very time, on the way to a mountain retreat camp to teach that in the next few days, right at the time you sent this, correct? Remember that?
No.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember anything about me teaching anybody anything like that.
Okay. So you're denying the fact that you and Ms. Vallow had a conversation and you talked about teaching and shutting off dark spirits or dark portals, right?
Incorrect. She shared that.
Oh, she shared that with you.
No, that text says that she wanted to teach me. It had nothing to do with what I responded to that I can see from that text.
Well, forgive me, but the text says, I'm going to teach right now, teaching about discerning and shutting off dark spirits. So it's your contention then that you're not Phoebe, right?
Well, I gather from that conversation that she was sharing that with me.
Okay. Well, I gather from the conversation that you were sharing that with her. So we have a disagreement.
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative.
Sustained.
Okay. So your position is you never talked or taught in any camp. Is that right? About dark portals. Is that what you're
That's
testifying
correct.
To? That's okay. Correct. Okay. Now, you also previously testified that you never discussed dark and light or super dark or different levels of dark and light. Is that right?
I discussed it at times with probably people in the inner circle, but I didn't go around teaching it that I can recall.
I didn't ask about teaching. I said that you had discussions with people about light and dark then, right?
Right.
So that's not a term that's not unfamiliar to you, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So when you say the inner circle, does that include Mike James?
No.
Okay. So you never had a discussion with Mike James about super dark and dark. Is that right?
Not to my recollection.
Okay. Would it refresh your recollection that on November 12th of 2019, you contacted Lori Vallow complaining about Mike James and someone named Nancy being super dark? Does that refresh your recollection?
I don't recall that.
Okay. And if I were to show that to you, would that help you refresh your recollection?
It doesn't matter to me. Regardless, I just don't recall it.
Okay. Well, Mr. Bailiff, could you provide this to Ms. Gibb? Ma'am, when you're done reading that, would you set that or give that back to the bailiff, please?
Okay.
You give it back to the bailiff, please. Mr. Bailiff, if I may, please. So you saw this. Does this refresh your recollection, Ms. Gibb?
No.
It doesn't?
I don't recall.
Okay. Well, I'm. Do I need to show it to you again and ask?
I can read it and I see what it says. I just don't recall that text.
Okay. So you don't recall talking about Mike James and asking for a favor and mentioning that someone named Nancy is super dark. But obviously, there was that conversation, right?
According to that text, but I don't recall that text.
Okay. And talking about being violent and bad language?
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. You're not denying that this text exists, are you?
No, I just don't recall it.
You just don't recall talking about super dark. So when you gave your testimony that you never really preached or talked about super dark or super light or anything like that, is that still accurate?
I don't recall talking to people outside of the inner circle about that.
Okay, well, that's Mike James, and you just told me Mike James is not in the inner circle.
He's not.
So that's somebody you were talking to Lori about, and it was based on a discussion about light and dark, right?
Right.
So you did talk outside your inner circle about this, didn't you?
Incorrect.
Incorrect? Well, Mike James isn't in your inner circle.
No.
Mike James is unloading on me and says, Nancy is super dark. So are you suggesting that, it was just Mike James saying the super dark and you were just listening? Is that what you're saying?
I don't recall how I felt at that time or what he was saying in context. I just have no memory of that. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then your lack of memory is...
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative. These have been asked and answered, and this is a narrative.
This last question was not a question. It was argumentative. It's sustained.
Judge, and I think I'm going to move on. Okay?
Sure.
You mentioned about castings.
Right.
And it's your testimony that prior to meeting Lori Vallow, you never engaged in castings. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. But then when you met Lori Vallow, you started the process of engaging in castings.
Correct.
And you mentioned that as part of castings, physical violence to anyone was never part of the solution there, right?
Correct.
The solution was to engage in castings and pray to have evil spirits leave the body of the people you believe are possessed.
Correct.
Death was never in the equation for castings. Is that right?
I guess they eventually said that they would pass on if the evil spirits would leave.
So is that something that's consistent with your LDS faith?
No.
But you engaged in that conduct, right?
Correct.
Okay. Did anybody force you to engage in that conduct?
No.
Okay. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We previously talked about you going to Hawaii to visit Lori in 2019. Okay. Did Lori pay for your flight on that trip?
I don't think so. I don't recall.
Don't recall, right? Okay. But Tylee was not there. That would you recall?
Not when I was there.
There were occasions when Lori would pay for people's flights. Do you recall? You recall that ever occurring?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you ever have a discussion with Lori about paying for Chad's flight to speak in Arizona?
It doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. I want to go back over the timeline a little bit about the weekend of the 19th through the 23rd. Okay.
Okay.
You arrived in Idaho Falls on the 19th. Is that what you recall?
Yes.
That was a Thursday, right?
Yes.
Okay. Lori picked you up at the airport. Is that correct?
Yes.
Was Alex there as well?
He wasn't in the car. No.
Okay. You also, on that Thursday, in a previous interview with law enforcement, mentioned that you went to a restaurant immediately upon arriving in Idaho Falls on that Thursday.
That's right.
And that restaurant, if I recall, was a Johnny Carino's. Does that ring a bell?
I just know it was an Italian restaurant.
Okay. Okay. At that point, was JJ with you too when you went to Johnny Carino's?
I don't recall seeing him there.
Okay. Do you recall that Lori had hired a babysitter that day?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. And Alex was with you because the JJ was with a babysitter, right?
I believe he met us at the restaurant.
Okay. 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 And after you were at the restaurant, do you recall that the two of you then went to a Walmart?
I don't recall.
Okay. It's possible you went to a Walmart afterwards, right?
It's possible.
Okay. And then after going to Johnny Carino's and going to the Walmart, it was relatively late that night, correct?
I feel like it was in the afternoon.
Okay. Is that what you recall?
Yes.
Okay. But then is it your testimony that the remainder of the day you and Lori spent time together, you didn't see Chad, correct?
I don't recall if Chad came over or not. I just know I was with her.
Okay. And that was Thursday, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then we move on to Friday. Do you recall going to a place called the Gravity Factory on Friday?
Some jump place.
I think that's what that was.
Right? Yeah, I do recall going there.
Talked about that with law enforcement, right?
Yes.
I think you called it like a jump house or something like that.
Like that.
Do you remember about what time you folks went to the jump house on Friday?
Well, I'm not sure it was Friday, but it was daylight outside.
Okay. Well, we know that it wasn't Thursday because we already discussed Thursday, correct?
I can't say if it was or wasn't. We could have done it on Thursday.
You could have.
Yeah. I don't recall when we actually went.
Okay. So you recall telling law enforcement in an interview that on Friday you went to the jump house or to the Gravity Factory. Do you recall telling law enforcement?
I don't recall the date I shared with them.
Okay. And you don't recall what time you went to the Gravity House or the jump house, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. On the Friday morning, do you recall going anywhere Friday morning?
I just know specific things we did. I just can't always recall exactly what day it was.
And then do you recall that after you had spent amount of time, before we get there, the jump house, that wasn't for you and Lori, right?
Correct.
That was for JJ?
Correct.
Okay. And you don't recall the number of hours you spent at the jump house, do you?
I would say it was maybe around 2 hours.
Okay. And that was, and my my recollection is that was in Idaho Falls, correct?
I don't know where it was.
Oh, you don't remember?
I don't.
Okay. And then after the jump house, you and Lori and JJ, was, oh, by the way, was Alex there too at the jump house with you guys?
I remember he came and went. He brought some pizza, I believe.
Well, you guys went out for pizza, didn't you?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
He didn't bring pizza.
I feel like he brought something in. That's just my memory.
Right. Yeah. What happened is you went to the jump house, and then isn't it true you afterwards Alex came by, and then all of you went out to have a bite to eat for dinner at a pizza place, correct?
I don't recall what day it was, but we did go out for pizza one night.
And then after you went out for pizza, you went back to the townhome, correct?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, you went back because you had to gather your things to go pick up Dave, right?
I didn't have to pick up Dave.
Well, who picked up Dave?
No one.
He drove in?
Yes.
I was under the impression that he flew in.
No.
Okay. That Dave flew in. That's not correct?
That's not correct.
Okay. And then on Friday evening, the folks in the townhouse that evening were you and Dave.
Correct.
Your boyfriend at the time. Lori and Alex.
Yes.
And JJ.
And JJ. And I think Chad was there too.
Oh, how long was Chad there?
I don't recall.
Okay. Is it possible that Chad wasn't there?
It's possible.
Okay. And then do you recall if Alex and your boyfriend at the time were playing Guitar Hero on a video game?
They were playing. I remember watching it. I might have at some point just jumped in a little bit and danced a little bit.
Okay. We don't. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But the two of them had spent a considerable amount of time that Friday night playing Guitar Hero, Alex and Dave, correct?
No, I don't believe Dave ever did.
Oh, Dave watched Alex play?
Yes, I guess so.
Okay. And then we go on to Saturday. You got up in the morning and prepared to go to this firm foundation thing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, do you remember in one of your text messages to Prosecutor Wood that you mentioned that you were there at the firm foundation for about 10 hours taking pictures? Do you recall talking to Prosecutor Wood about that?
I don't recall talking to him about that.
Is it possible you spoke to him about that?
It's possible.
Okay. So you were at the firm foundation and you said you were there for about 10 hours, correct?
I think I was. I just don't remember.
Okay. And do you recall that it was rather late at night on Saturday when you got done with the firm foundation?
Yes, yes.
And you didn't see Chad that night either, did you?
I don't recall seeing him.
Okay, right. So then we go on to Sunday. And you and Dave slept in that morning, correct? Recall that?
I do not recall that.
Okay. Anyway, you woke up late, apparently, and Lori...
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the prior testimony and counsel's... It's a narrative.
Sustained.
Is it possible you slept in till late Sunday morning?
No.
It's not possible?
I don't sleep in.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And then, do you recall that Lori gave you a haircut that Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. And how long did that take?
A few hours, because she colored my hair, too.
Okay. So that was Sunday morning, correct?
I think so.
Okay. And do you recall about what time that was?
I don't.
Okay. Sometime in the morning, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then you folks went to have lunch that after she cut your hair, correct?
No, I don't remember that at all.
Okay. Did you stay in the townhouse and bring lunch in?
I don't remember how the food was. I don't remember her having a lot of food. She might have made something. I don't remember.
Okay. But at that point, you hadn't seen Chad Daybell Sunday morning, correct?
No, I saw him Sunday morning.
You did? When was that?
Shortly after we went to this field behind a church building. So sometime in the morning. I felt like it was in the morning. Could have been late morning, but it was sometime.
Do you recall discussing with Lori that after Chad gets out of church Sunday afternoon, we'll go out and look at a piece of property? Do you recall having that conversation with Lori?
I don't recall, but it's possible.
Okay, so is it possible you're just confused about the facts and the the time to go visit the land was really early to late afternoon on Sunday.
I felt like her seeing that piece of land that I talked about first, and then the going to see that land for sale was second. That's just my memory.
Oh, so you went to see a piece of land with Lori first?
Well, I wouldn't consider, it was just this empty field that was behind a church, but it wasn't for any purpose of being purchased.
So you were traveling to the piece of property that you were going to go look with Alex and David, but you were traveling with Lori at that point, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the testimony. It's a narrative. I'd move to strike.
Overruled.
You were traveling with Lori to go look at the piece of property with the real estate person, correct?
No.
Who were you traveling with?
I don't know who I was traveling with. I think maybe Dave and I were in the truck and we drove over there. I don't remember.
You don't remember. So it's possible that you were traveling with Lori as well, right?
No.
Okay. So you remember you weren't with Lori?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. But you had mentioned that you and Lori went to see a piece of parcel first.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then subsequent to that, you went to look at another piece of property, correct?
Correct.
And then Chad was meeting you at that second piece of parcel, correct?
Correct.
And then do you recall you told in an interview to law enforcement that Chad was still in his church clothes at that point?
Could be.
Okay. Well, do you remember that or not?
I don't remember the conversation.
Okay. So it's possible that you told law enforcement that Chad was in his church clothes in the afternoon when he went out to see the property, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you did see Chad at the property at that point, correct?
Correct.
And that's the one we're really sure about, right?
I'm sure about both of them, but yes, he was at that one.
You're sure? Which is the other one that you're so sure about?
The one that we just talked about, the prior one.
Prior one about what?
The parcel that we went to first.
Okay. Oh, Chad was there too?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then afterwards, you went back to the townhome, correct?
I think so, but I don't recall for sure.
Okay. And Chad didn't go with you back to the townhome, did he?
I don't think so.
Okay. And then at that point, you were getting prepared for your podcast that you were going to do that night, right?
We didn't prepare for that till the evening.
Okay. And again, on a Sunday evening, Chad wasn't there for the podcast, correct?
Correct.
And then just to clarify again, after you did the podcast that was late in the, it could have been as late as Monday morning, but it was after midnight sometime, right?
I'm not sure if it was after midnight. I just know it was around that time.
Okay. And then we'll move on to Monday. And Monday, you departed and left to go back home. Is that correct?
No.
What did you do on Monday?
Dave and I drove to Pocatello to see his son.
Okay. And you left at about 9:30.
That sounds about right.
Well, isn't it true that you and Alex and Dave drove by Chad's property Monday morning?
No.
Okay. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor. Ms. Blake, you can conduct redirect if you'd like.
No, that's already up there. It's going to be put in. Yeah. I like it. The same. I'll find it. Mr. Bailey.
All right, sorry, Ms. Blake. We are labeling the one that was specifically referenced as 7C and putting a mark on that. I know it's a subpart of a generally admitted exhibit, but 7C is marked for the record.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just wanted to wait.
Yes, we'll get that straightened out. Thank you.
Would you like me to proceed?
Yes, go ahead.
Ms. Gibb, we've asked you a lot of stuff from the years of 2018, 2019. Have you done your best to recall the facts?
Yes.
With regard to Lori, we talked about your relationship with her. And at times, I think you indicated you had daily contact.
Right.
And at times it was more sporadic.
Correct.
But this contact with her spanned over a period of time, correct?
Yes.
You were asked if you thought Chad believed that he could see visions. And I think you said yes, that was your understanding.
Yes.
Did Chad ever indicate to you that he had visions?
Well, he shared them publicly, so Yes.
So Chad shared that he did have visions.
Yes.
You were asked yesterday about the term vibration.
Yes.
Did Chad and Lori ever use the term vibration?
Yes.
How did they use it?
They used it in a way to express their what they thought their knowledge was about being translated.
And when we talk about that, did your level in translation equate with the vibration number?
Yes.
What did they teach regarding that?
So the higher the number, the closer to the body being in a translation state.
And what did they talk about in relation to a translated state?
Your body would be changed in a way that you wouldn't have to eat or, drink, but you know, your body's just more, I guess, stronger, powerful.
And you wouldn't need some of the things that, generally speaking, mortals or bodies need to survive. Is that fair?
Yeah.
You were also asked some about light and dark, and you were asked about energy work as well. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that some people may have a glow about them?
Object. It's leading.
Sustain.
Your Honor, and I think, if I may respond.
Well, you can ask another question, but it is redirect, not recross. So that was the leading question.
I guess that's what I wanted to be heard on.
Go ahead.
I think there was some agreement to allow defense to go outside the scope of direct. And I do think questions were asked that opened this avenue.
Judge, could we approach?
That's not necessary. I'll make a ruling. There was some discussion, and to the extent that there was additional cross outside the scope of direct, then it would be appropriate for leading on your redirect, Ms. Blake, on those topics. So I'll, after reconsideration, overrule that objection because it was a topic essentially brought up anew in cross. So I will allow some leading, Ms. Blake. So go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would it be fair to say that some people may have a glow about them?
Yes.
And is that a little bit different than the light and dark that Chad and Lori taught?
I think so.
You were asked about your communication with the prosecutors.
Yes.
And you acknowledge you had communication with the prosecutors.
That's right.
Did anything about that communication alter your memory of the events?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Sorry. Did it change what you recall from the events with Chad and Lori, your communication with the prosecutors?
Well, no.
Did you ever personally observe Lori and Chad on the phone together?
Yes.
And were you with Lori when those conversations would happen?
Yes.
Were you ever able to overhear some of the conversations?
Just a little bit.
After Lori would get off the phone with Chad, would she ever tell you what they talked about?
Yes.
And when she'd tell you what they talked about, would she share with you things Chad taught or told her?
Yes.
And you were asked about whether or not Chad had ever indicated to you that he intended to physically harm Tammy. And I think you said he'd never indicated that.
That's right.
And you also said he never indicated a specific intention to harm Lori's kids. Is that correct?
Yes.
Who was it that would label someone darker a zombie again?
Chad.
And even once someone was labeled a zombie or dark, what was going to happen to their body as Chad and Lori taught it?
If they could cast the evil spirit out, the body would naturally die.
So if someone was darker a zombie, they were going to die?
Yes. Well, maybe. I mean, not everybody. They knew.
But that was the teaching. If the casting was successful, the body would die.
Right.
And JJ was labeled darker a zombie?
Yes.
Tammy was labeled darker a zombie?
Yes.
Charles was labeled darker a zombie?
Yes.
And Tylee was labeled darker a zombie.
Yes.
You were asked about that phone call, the recording from December 8th of 2019.
Yes.
And to be clear, did law enforcement ask you to record that?
Never.
Do you recall hearing Chad on there telling you that you may be in danger?
Yes.
As Lori talked, did Chad ever jump in and correct her that you recall?
Say that again.
Did Chad ever jump in to correct Lori when you were on that call?
I don't recall that.
And Chad was there with her for the call. We could hear him, correct?
Correct.
And Lori tells you JJ's okay.
Correct.
You were also asked about when Chad called you around Thanksgiving. Do you recall that call in 2019?
Yes. And
do you recall what Chad told you or asked you to do at that time?
He asked me not to pick up the phone when the police would call.
Do you recall asking him if JJ was with Kay?
Yes.
And what was Chad's response?
No. The answer was no.
So Chad knew he wasn't with Kay?
Yes.
When that phone call was placed to you by Chad, did you know JJ was missing at that time?
I guess no, I didn't.
So when Chad first tells you not to talk to the police, you actually don't know JJ's been reported as missing?
Correct. Yeah.
I have no further questions.
Judge, I have just a couple of items on recross.
Okay, that's fine, Mr. Pryor. I'll ask some recross.
And Your Honor, may we approach?
Yes. All right, Mr. Pryor, we discussed the scope of recross. Please keep it on those topics, and you can continue.
Yep.
With the microphone, Mr. Pryor, please.
Hey, Judge. Ms. Gibb, you talked about the fact that you participated in castings, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And as part of your participation in castings, you knew the intent of what a casting was used for was to rid the body of evil spirits, correct?
Correct.
But then you just testified with the prosecuting attorney that you also knew that at successful completion of the casting, the human body would die. So you knew that when you were doing this castings, that apparently you were ending the life of a human body. Isn't that correct?
I had no idea what really the result would be.
Oh,
that was the theory.
Okay. But you just said that the purpose of castings was to, when the prosecutor asked you about that, that it would end the life of a human body, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Misstates the testimony, misstates the prior question from the state.
Sustained.
I'm done, Judge.
All right. That concludes the recross then. That will conclude the testimony of Ms. Gibb. I believe she's under subpoena from the defense also, but I don't know that there's nothing covered that where I allowed the extended scope of cross. Do you intend to recall her, Mr. Pryor?
Judge, I want to keep her under subpoena at this point because if other issues come up and I need Ms. Gibb to come back, I spoke with the prosecutor about how I can communicate with Ms. Gibb if that need arises. But at this point, I want to keep her under subpoena. I would ask the court to do an admonishment about not allowing her to view anything or talk to anybody about the case. But at this point, the final decision has not been made. And I explained that to the prosecutor, but in the event something comes up that I need to revisit, that I need to have that opportunity.
Very well. Ms. Gibb, that concludes your testimony for now. You may be recalled because you may be recalled and are under subpoena from the defense. I'll request and admonish you, not request, but you're admonished not to watch further trial proceedings that may be available on the live stream or to follow the case in any way until such time as you're released from the subpoena. Okay. All right.
Judge, could I also inquire that Ms. Gibb be advised about discussing her testimony or testimony with anybody else?
That's part of the admonishment. So
you, Judge.
That will conclude the testimony of Ms. Gibb. We're going to take a mid-morning recess and discuss scheduling as well as take up one issue outside the presence of the jurors. So at this time, we will break for our mid-morning recess and rise for the jurors, and I'll have counsel stay while we address that issue.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. You can go ahead and sit down. All right, Ms. Blake, I understand the state was interested in putting an objection on the record relating to the manner in which recross is being permitted.
Yes, Your Honor. We had asked to approach in a sidebar about that. At this juncture, Mr. Pryor has been allowed to do a recross on almost every one of the state's witnesses, and I think it's extending beyond any new matters that may come up. So we're just objecting to the generality of him getting to recross and would request that it be limited to only if a new issue arises so that we don't end up in a situation where then the state asks to do another redirect and go down that.
And if I could respond, Judge, may.
You may.
And quite frankly, Judge, it's not the prosecutor's prerogative or is it their decision to decide when I get a recross. That's the judge's decision to make. So I don't know where Ms. Gibb thinks she has the authority or the ability to say when.
Ms. Blake.
Ms. Blake is what I said, Judge, I think. I did say Ms. Blake, did I not?
Said Ms. Gibbs.
Ms. Gibbs. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Ms. Blake has the ability to dictate when this court makes its own independent decision when I'm permitted to have recross.
All right. Well, evidentiary rulings and the way witnesses are examined are subject to rules as well as the court's discretion. Certainly the state can lodge an objection, and I'll pay attention to that. There is limitations on what is supposed to be allowed in the scope of redirect or recross. Part of the reason the court has been pretty liberal in allowing that is sort of a, I understood, standing agreement between the parties that with certain witnesses, instead of calling them twice, once in the defense or in the state's case, again in the defense case, for efficiency purposes, getting them on the stand once. I permitted extensive on some witnesses scope of cross beyond direct. If we are not going outside the scope as part of that agreement, then I would agree that it's not proper to allow recross every time. So I'll just watch for the topics that come up. And if we extend on cross beyond the scope and that's allowed, then that's where I think there's a second opportunity. So both sides essentially get a right to direct and cross a witness. So I'll just take that under advisement for future rulings. Any questions on that ruling, Ms. Blake?
Thank you, Your Honor. And the state does recognize it's clearly within the court's discretion. If we do have concerns in the future about a request for recross, would the court just like us to approach and then discuss that?
I just don't think those are prejudicial for the jurors, and approaching slows things down. So just make the objection. Just make an objection. I think unless it's related to some specific topic that may prejudice the jurors, let's just move it along.
And the state does agree that recross may absolutely be appropriate. It just seems that it is at times just rehashing the same stuff.
Very well. It'll be under advisement for future rulings. We'll take our rest of our recess at this time. And I do want to just briefly discuss the remaining schedule for today with counsel right now on a sidebar, and then we'll take our break.
All rise.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.